Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my very special lady and blessed teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, honey. And yes, I am a blessed woman. And actually, we are all blessed when we know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So last week we looked at the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and why Enoch was a picture of the rapture coming before God's judgment. And tonight, since Purim is in 2 weeks, we will look at that typology in the great book of Esther. But first, let us bless our Lord and Savior.
Father, we do bless you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are our El Shaddai, who watches over us and protects us from our enemies. And even though we feel sometimes like we're down in the valley, may your presence of your loving arms gently lift us up once again to your holy mountain, knowing one day we'll never be in that valley again. We plead saving grace over our unsaved loved ones as we pray as well for those recent prayer requests, and may Israel be victorious. In Yeshua's name, and may tonight's teaching bring glory to you. Amen.
Amen.
Update on Israel.
Yes, well, you know, it's day 158, and like Prime Minister Netanyahu said at the beginning, it will be a long and hard war. Today we can agree good progress has been made to curtail Hamas, but the next and final military offensive is down south to the area of Rafah on the border with Egypt, and the last Hamas stronghold bunkered underground. Biden has said just this morning that he believes Israel has gone too far.
Are you kidding me? What's he going to say after they hit Rafah?
Yeah. Well, yesterday, Bibi said it's either Israel or Hamas, and has been quite clear that Rafah would be next, and probably with mostly ground troops to help minimize Palestinian casualties. They have not yet entered due to the possibility of a ceasefire, but Hamas was just not willing to agree. And it's also, right now then, the Muslim month of Ramadan. And in the past, attacks have increased upon Israelis and are expected even more so this month, especially in Jerusalem. So as of today, we do not know when they will go into Rafah, especially if they are needed more on still another front.
Yeah, well, don't forget, they are still fighting up north with Hezbollah.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's gotten worse over the last week.
Do you know whether Egypt will take any Palestinians through its Rafah gate?
Well, they certainly don't want to, because they fear they might not be able to get rid of them and get them back into Gaza. And by the way, they estimate like 1 million Palestinians are packed into the area, even after some are moving back up north. But Biden, I think, slipped when he said that it was him who got Egypt to agree to taking some in. So obviously they are, and likely Egypt will anyway, because they were probably threatened with the loss of millions of dollars that we give them. And we have seen some hopeful signs that that they will when necessary. Oh, and by the way, as we reported a couple weeks ago, there have been recent satellite photos showing bulldozers and earth movers that have cleared substantial tracts of land near the border. And as well, a cement-walled security perimeter is being built near the border. And they expect that it can hold up to like 150,000 in the event of a breach of Egypt's border. They wouldn't be able to go past that wall.
And aren't there reports that Egypt has made some exceptions?
Yeah, already, especially to the war wounded for treatment, and to some with second passports or who have connections to Western entities. But here's the kicker. Also to those who've been able to raise thousands of dollars for special visas. Anyway, Special Counsel Herr gave testimony today on the Hill on why he did not indict Biden for stealing and keeping classified documents when he was senator and vice president, which disqualifies him of even having them because only the president can and can declassify and keep them, which Trump was allowed to do. But they will still indict Trump because they say he didn't turn them over when asked soon enough.
But let off Biden because he has a bad memory.
Man, it's too frail to stand trial.
Double standard, big time.
Hopefully after today, charges will be dropped on Trump as well.
Yes, keep him in your prayers.
For sure.
Okay, we welcome all of your comments and end time questions either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider a love offering, and any correspondence will place you on our newsletter mailings. You can also bless us with your donation on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and newsletters are archived for your continued learning pleasure. So, we are looking at the Feast of Purim tonight.
Yes, we are, and it is celebrated this year on March 24th. Therefore, we will be in the Book of Esther with its many pictures of learning called typology that has been our topic for many weeks now. And we'll begin by answering the first question frequently asked is why the Feast of Purim is not listed with the seven feasts in Leviticus 23. Well, the simple answer is that historically, Purim, like Hanukkah, came after Moses wrote the Torah. But even more importantly, those feasts, which are rather actual appointments to be kept by Christ.
Concerning his two comings to earth.
That's right. And God wanted his people to connect the dots when he arrived. Some did and some did not. And most still don't, at least yet, in connecting those dots.
However, the Messianic movement has been growing a lot over the years.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm. And the rest will come around during the tribulation, which is a major reason for the coming judgment, as Hosea 5:15 says.
In their affliction, they will seek me.
And they will. So Purim is not one of the seven major feasts of Leviticus 23. It nonetheless, like the Feast of Hanukkah, plays an important part in the eschatological teachings in that the Jews had won their battles. Antiochus Epiphanes and Haman, who even had 10 sons, were both types of the Antichrist. And actually, you can say there have been many types of the Antichrist.
As Scripture tells us in 1 John 2:18.
It does. The other seven feasts, although historical, they're not finished yet. Jesus has fulfilled four, but three are still coming. And we'll talk about that next month at Passover, which this year on the Hebrew calendar comes actually a month after the traditional Easter featuring rabbits and eggs. But the real Feast of First Fruits always falls on the Sunday during the 7 days of unleavened bread, which can change each year. But this year, again, on the Hebrew calendar, isn't until April 28th.
Why so far apart when last year they were in the same week?
Well, we go by the solar and lunar calendar, we do, of 365.4 days. And Israel's Hebrew calendar goes by the lunar calendar, where each month starts with a new moon. But in order to catch up with the harvest, every fourth year, they add an extra month of Adar called Adar Bet, which means Adar 2. That, by the way, just began yesterday on the new moon. Hence, why our Easter this year is a month earlier.
So, we're in their leap year, so to speak, right now.
Yeah. their month of Adar began over again yesterday.
So, what about the Essene calendar that has Passover Sunday on June 7th?
No, April.
April 7th. Only a week different than us.
Well, because the Essenes go by a more stricter solar calendar of just 364 days. So later, they add 4 days, 1 day at each season. A little confusing, I guess, but oh well. Let's get back to Esther, which, as in all the stories, is historically true with many typological teachings. So let's look first at some of the more obvious pictures. So then, when you read this wonderful love story, as you should again this week, pick out even more pictures on your own. In the story of Esther, we meet King Ahasuerus, who, let's say, is a picture of our king or God. And his wife, Queen Vashti, represents the unrighteous, who was called to appear before the king but refused, so she lost her place.
Unbelievers are always being called, but many refuse.
So they lose any place in the coming kingdom. And in Jeremiah 3:8, it says that God even had to give Israel a writ of divorce for their unfaithfulness to him.
But he did. He did take them back.
You're right. Mm-hmm. So a search was made for a new, more willing queen.
And Esther fit the bill.
Who is a type of us righteous believers who will one day be his queen.
We'll also see Mordecai.
Yeah, he had the king's ear, and who sat at the gate. This is where they could listen to what was going on and take in any gossip, you know, but he could find out if there was any wrongdoing that might be being brewed. But in fact, Mordecai conveyed to the king of his possible assassination.
Yeah, he was also Esther's older cousin.
And legal guardian who guided her.
A picture of the Messiah.
Yes, who guides us through his word.
But there's always a villain.
Yep. In this case, it was Haman, the adversary.
A type of the future satanic Antichrist.
Yes, and Haman also had 10 sons, like Antichrist will have 10 leaders under him. Satan has always been trying to eliminate the Jews. And in this story, he tries yet again.
And don't forget about Haggai.
Right. A picture of the Holy Spirit who prepares Esther for her wedding. And how does the Holy Spirit prepare us for our wedding? Well, he also enlightens and guides us through the Word.
Because thy word is a light unto our path. Psalms 119:105.
Love that. Mm-hmm. And let me reiterate that looking for pictures is really a lot of fun, and it's challenging. I encourage you to look for them in all the biblical stories that you read.
Remember Proverbs 25:2.
Yep, that's where God says he likes to hide things so that we can find them.
That is typology.
Anyhow, when the word got out, the king wanted a new queen. Many maidens started preparing, and after 2 years of beautifying themselves, it was then time. And as we said, Esther is an unknown Jew, and her Hebrew name is Hadassah, which means myrtle, a symbol or picture of everlasting life.
And a very pleasant fragrance, I might add.
Mm-hmm. And as the story progresses, Haman, also a counselor to the king, was a treacherous and jealous enemy of Mordecai and all the Jews, and plots to exterminate them. Now, here's a gold nugget. We see in chapter 3 of Esther that Haman was an Agagite,
which means a descendant of the Amalekite king Agag.
Mm-hmm. Both evil characters. If you recall Israel's first king, King Saul, whom, by the way, Mordecai is a descendant from Saul, who God told to annihilate all, including the children of the Amalekites.
1 Samuel 15.
Apparently they all had evil, bad seed, And as we know from Genesis 3, that Satan does have seed.
We have talked about that before.
We sure have. Anyhow, Saul killed them all except Agag.
And Samuel finally did kill Agag.
He did, but not soon enough. So, therefore, descendants of Agag were born later. Anyhow, Mordecai was Saul's descendant, so also a Benjamite, who is now faced with the descendant of the Amalekite, Agag.
Saul, you know, he really messed up.
And because his disobedience in eliminating all the Amalekites shows why it is important to obey God or reap the consequences later, as we see in this story.
In other words, if Saul had obeyed God and killed King Agag, there'd be no Haman.
Who is about to kill all the Jews. And throughout Israel's history, we see them having to kill the bad seed because they are owned by Satan. But Biden says we need a permanent ceasefire which leaves the bad seeds to do it again. But honestly, there will always be bad seeds. It will take Jesus to wipe out all the enemies.
And will soon.
Amen. So we see Haman and Mordecai are caught reenacting a scene, the stage of which had been set much earlier. Another proof that history repeats itself.
And typology is real.
And truly amazing how and only God could have arranged it. Well, anyway, bad guy Haman becomes second in command next to this Persian king. Today, Persia is called Iran, which, by the way, still houses the body of Esther and Mordecai in a mausoleum in Iran's city of Hamadan.
Well, she was the queen of Persia.
Mm-hmm. So evil Haman hates Mordecai, and out of bitter jealousy, Haman lies and succeeds in destroying Mordecai's favor with the king, who listened to Haman, who also told the king the Jews would not follow the king's laws, and gives the order to construct gallows on which to hang Mordecai and annihilate all the Jews. Haman then casts lots, which in Persia is Purim, in the first month of the biblical calendar, Nisan 13. And that was to decide when to have the hanging. So the lots fall on the 13th day of Adar.
This year, it's March 23rd at sundown till the 24th at sundown.
When Mordecai realizes Haman's evil plan, he beseeches the now Queen Esther, still an unknown Jew, to intercede with the king on behalf of her people. So she tells Mordecai to fast for the next 3 days, the 13th, 14th, and the 15th, still in the month of Nisan, at which time Esther requests admittance into the king's presence.
Which was taking a big risk.
Well, right, for no one could enter the king's presence under penalty of death unless he called them first.
Even his wife.
How many of us would risk our lives for the people? I think of so many Christians that have been martyred over the years and still are today.
China being just one of them, one of many.
Yeah. But out of his great love for Esther, the king agrees to see her and promises her anything. Her request is for the king and Haman to come to a banquet that she will prepare for them the following day. Then, again, the king asks her, well, what you desire? This time her request is for the king and Haman to come to another banquet yet again the next day.
Now on the 17th of Nisan.
That date is significant, which is why she probably stalled him, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Then Esther, during this banquet, reveals the plot of the wicked Haman to kill the Jews falsely, along with the truth about herself being Jewish. So the now furious king orders Haman and his 10 sons to be hung on the very gallows Haman had made for the Jews.
And the Jewish people were spared yet again.
And by the way, it was a descendant of Queen Esther named Cyrus, therefore part Jewish, who, according to the Cyrus Cylinder, which was an archaeological find in 1879, it says he was prompted by God in a vision. And then, of course, also we have the prophecies of Isaiah chapters 44 and 45. And it talks about rebuilding the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, which he helped do. paving the way for its reconstruction and many then to make Aliyah to Israel. You know, each time I read this story, I see another picture, and I hope you too will read and try to find your own, because your own digging will bring you great reward, I promise.
And consider the dates as well.
Yes. Some obvious dates are dates like the 17th of Nisan, when Haman was defeated, giving new life to the Jews. Later, Jesus would rise from the dead on Nisan 17, giving new life to all who believe.
A defeating blow to Satan.
Let's also not forget that on the 17th of Nisan, the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea, giving them new life from bondage while defeating Pharaoh.
A type of the Antichrist and his army.
Also another blow to Satan and his demons. And we see from Genesis 8 that Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat, yep, on Nisan 17, definitely representing new life to the human race. Also, if Haman represents the Antichrist, who rules over 10 nations, which is represented by the horns in Daniel and Revelation, could that be why Haman had 10 sons?
Most likely.
Because God loves to hide things so we can find them. Now, if you have been a Christian for a while, it's time to advance to the next level called typology, because God desires to bless you more. So again, during this month of Adar was the date Adar 13 that came up on Haman's lots. And that is the Festival of Purim, or you can call it Festival of Lots.
From sundown to sundown.
In celebration, it is a time of fun, game playing, dressing in costumes, and joyful remembrance. Now, during the reading of Esther, called the Megillah, Mordecai and Esther, well, they're always cheered when their names come up. But Haman is always booed, to the point that no one wants to hear his name over the uproar. A three-cornered butter cookie filled with fruit is eaten to commemorate Haman's three-cornered hat. So, why not have a Purim celebration on either March 23rd or March 24th with your children? It would be a great learning experience. And of course, read the Book of Esther, which should always be read during the time of Purim. And look for pictures. In the story of Esther, the Persian king, we see he did have a heart for the Jews. You know, the Ayatollah today and his crony leaders of Persia, which is Iran, certainly do not, and is determined to make the same mistake all the other enemies of Israel have made. They, too, are doomed to fail. So what do you think? Will America be an Esther and stand up for Israel?
Well, it kind of feels doubtful right now.
It sure does. It's sad. But how about you personally? Would you risk your life for God's people? Once again, be sure Jesus is Lord over your life. And if you still have one foot in the world, repent, and repent soon. He's your Savior. Read his love story written for you. He will give you the power needed over the sin that torments you. He paid with his death your entire punishment for your sins. It's paid. Just accept his receipt. It has your name on it, and it even says paid in full. Now it's your move, and it's always your choice. Choose life. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.